And in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at a few verses, but we're going to start in verse number 6 tonight. Verse number 6, Philippians chapter 1. And again, just one verse. I'm going to ask if you'd read that with me. We'll make our way to Philippians 1. And verse number 6 is the verse I'd like for us to read together. We're going to focus on what it has to share tonight. And trust it'll be a blessing and a help. Let's go ahead. Let's read that together, shall we? Verse number 6, we're in Philippians chapter 1. Let's begin. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, if God has to work on us, then we have to admit he's the hardest of workers, wouldn't you say? He puts a lot of effort into our lives, and he desires to see some things happen in our life. A man who helps with projects on the side advertised that he only worked on numbers 1, 3, 5, and 7. He called the name of his business the Odd Jobs Handyman. 1, 3, 5, 7. I'm in a math thing today, I guess. But work is something that God does, not just that he wants us to do, but certainly he wants to work through you and in us. Here the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you three things, what God wants to do in our lives. What God wants to do in our lives. I think we could look at other passages and give some answers to that particular title. But here, in verse 6, I see at least three of what God wants to do in our lives. Would you bow with me and we'll ask him to help us before we go any further. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives and around us. We ask, Father, that you would show us what we need to see tonight, dear Lord. Help us to set aside any distractions, both outside of ourselves and inside ourselves. We know our own flesh wants to fight against what you have to say. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom this evening. Pray, Father, that you would speak, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What God wants to do in our lives. Here the Bible says, again, verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun. God, number one, God wants to begin a work in our lives. He wants to begin a work in our lives. You know, the natural man, or what we would call the flesh, living in the flesh, but the natural man, the one that is man or woman or whoever, who has yet to trust Christ as Savior, that's the way we are conceived and we live and are born, etc. The natural man's desire is opposite of God's. The two don't go together. And the Apostle Paul told us about it, and we'll look at it later on. But the natural man's desire is opposite of God's. We and the world system puts efforts towards something materially better. Well, this isn't quite good enough. Let's see if we can work towards and make it better, which is not a bad thing, especially if something's falling apart. Amen. Yeah. Which I heard one of our pews is at tonight, so we might have to work at that. But our efforts go towards something materially in order to make it better, at least from our perspective. We also put efforts towards something physically to get better. You know, exercise is a blessing, a good diet and so forth like that. All that, they say, helps us in the long run. Although death visits everybody, there is some ways to better ourselves physically. But this does give us the natural man's desire, and that is to reach up higher, attain more, and get what we can. That's what the natural man wants. But here's what God wants from us. God desires to work in the lives of sinners. He desires to work in the lives of sinners. His grace at work in us is truly amazing. Would you go to Romans chapter 2 with me, please? Romans chapter 2. His grace in us is truly amazing. Romans chapter 2, take a look at verse number 4. If you're here tonight, you know the Lord is your Savior. Praise God. But you understand this is what God does and has done throughout life. If you're here tonight, you have yet to call on Christ. Let me share with you. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing to draw you to Him. Romans 2, verse number 4 says this, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, to change the way you see Him, to change the way you think about God and the Lord Jesus, to change the direction of your destiny from hell to heaven." The Bible says, in grace, in His goodness and His forbearance, He works in the lives of those who have yet to call on Christ. But not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's go there, take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse number 14. And you might be here tonight saying, man, I'm so thankful that before I got saved, God was convicting me. He was working on my heart, showing me how things need to change. Otherwise, the destination is very destructive. But do you know, Christian friend, God's still working on you tonight. He does not quit after you called on Him for salvation. Verse number 14, take a look. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Are you still in Christ Jesus tonight?
Yes.
If you know Christ as your Savior, you can't get rid of Him. You can break fellowship with Him.
Right.
You can strive to be far from Him. But Jesus says, I'm still, the grace of God still has me in your life. And He wants to see you. Working in you. His provision, that is God's provision of salvation leads to the abundant life. We read this, I think it was last week, John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life," the new life, salvation, "and that they might have it more," what was the next word? Abundantly. You know, Christian friend, God has a life for us here that He calls abundant. Abundantly. Not waiting in heaven for you. Not waiting for some, amazing things necessarily. But this is a normal life that He has for you and for me. We look at this also. Romans 15, 13 tells us He has abundant hope for the Christian. Ephesians 3, verse 20, He has abundant ways to answer our prayers. He can answer prayers above all that we ask or think. That's what it says there. 1 Thessalonians 3 says He has abundant love that we might share with others, those that are close and those that are strangers. In 1 Peter chapter 1, He says He has abundant mercy that helps bring us to a lively hope. That's what God wants to work in you and in me. He desires to begin that work by faith in Christ. His work calls on us to put faith in Christ. Would you go to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're looking at verse number 12. The Bible says God desires to start that work in our lives. And that starts as we call on Him and put faith in Christ. I'm looking at verse number 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, it's talking about Jesus as the Word. In verse number 1, He calls Him the Word that was with God. The Word that was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And then it takes us up to John chapter 1 verse 12, that because of Him, this is what we need to respond to in the Word. "But as many as received Him," let me start there here in verse 11. "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." Did the Jews desire to put Jesus in His rightful place as their King of Kings, as their Lord of Lords? They wanted to use Him, but not in this rightful place as Savior. That's what He wanted to be for them. And yet they rejected that. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I ask you tonight, is there a time, because it is a time, if the Bible calls salvation, at the beginning of it, I should say, being born again, then we know there's a point where before that, we were not saved. And there's a point after that, that we are. And that point is a time when we call on Christ and put our faith in him alone, according to God's word. Has that time ever happened in your life? That is what the Bible says a believer in Christ is. It's not a matter of growing up in church. We brought all our kids up in church, but none of that got them saved. They heard the gospel regularly, every service, but it was what they did in response, in faith, that determined whether they were going to be a Christian or not. Being a Christian is not being here at Grace Baptist Church or any other church for that matter. Being a Christian is knowing Christ as your Savior. And do you know him? Have you put your faith in him? Hey, praise God. You know, heaven's doors are always open. His ears are always open. And he longs to hear from us if we need that salvation. God wants to begin a work in our lives. Before that, the Bible says we were in trespasses and sins. We were dead indeed unto sin, etc. That's where we were. But since Jesus, amen, we're alive. We're alive. And he wants to begin that work. Is that where you're at tonight? Do you need to start just by at the beginning by calling on Christ for salvation? Number two, let's go back to our verse. God wants to begin a good work, a good work. Take a look again at verse number 6. He says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to begin a good work in you. God's work in us doesn't always seem good. It doesn't always seem good when we look in the mirror of God's word and he starts to show us the very the blemishes that we've put on ourselves in life. I'm not talking about necessarily the outside, but I'm talking about what's going on inside, where our spirit and our soul need to be in line with Jesus and where things don't line up with him. He wants to do a good work and he works in us. It doesn't always seem good. God's Spirit makes us aware of our own sin. John 16, verse 7 and 8 says this, nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, the Lord's desire is that we witness, be a witness to others through our life, that the goodness of God comes out and shows, here's who Jesus can be, here's who he is. And then we share with them the truth of the gospel. But did you know that he always also convicts Christians of sin? The Holy Spirit desires to see all sin gone from you and me. And the Bible says he works on our life. God's word reveals good works do not earn the everlasting life. Isaiah 64, you might know this verse. You can say it with me if you do. It's verse number 6. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, the Bible talks about our righteousnesses as filthy rags. And he said, on our greatest day, when we're the best behaved, when it seems like we've done no wrong, the Bible says, in God's eyes, we still need him. We still need him. And God's word reveals if we serve God or the flesh. Would you go to Romans chapter 7? God's word reveals what our motives are and how they're being carried out. Romans chapter 7, this is that passage that the Apostle Paul was being very vulnerable with. He was being very personal, talking about what goes on in his own heart and mind, and indeed the mind of all of us, the heart of all of us. But take a look at verse number 22, Romans chapter 7. He's talking about the battle between the spirit and the flesh, doing good and not doing what I would like to do, but yet I do that instead, etc. Take a look at verse number 22. So God's word reveals if we serve God or the flesh. He says this, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." What we do in the flesh is not in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And God still says, here's what's right, here's what's not. And we're still held to that. But you know, the goodness of God is this. He accepts our confession when we need to. He accepts our response if we are open to Him. God's work in us doesn't always seem good. And faith in Jesus changes what God does through us. Does God work in the lives of those that don't know Him as Savior? I've had many of people say, well, before I got saved, I can look back and see, you know, God sent so-and-so and God did this for my family and did, and so-and-so and on and on they did. Pastor Jackson, Tim Jackson, how many of you know Brother Jackson? He's very well known around here. He talks about his parents who were unsaved. And they were dating, they were courting, etc. They were getting ready to get married, and they, as most people don't, who don't go to church, they didn't know anybody who would marry them. So they knocked on the door, or called, I don't know if it was one of the two, to connect with a Baptist preacher. And they asked him, would you marry us? And he said, well, let's sit down and talk about where we're at spiritually, but if that's what you'd like to do, I'll do it if God seems in it. And they began to talk about salvation. They began to talk about the word. And then they began to talk about the marriage. And I think the way he explains it, that the pastor brought in the marriage of the Lord Jesus. And we're His bride. He's our groom, etc. And we can have that picture for us in the wedding. Well, he married them. And 2 weeks later, they got saved. God led them to go through with it. And you might say, well, why did he do that? Well, the Lord was leading in the lives of those people. And now, Brother Jackson and all his brothers have been in the ministry, I don't know how many years. I think he's got four brothers, something like that. And they all serve the Lord faithfully. But his point was this, God works in the lives of unsaved people. But do you know he works more in the lives of saved people? He works more through you and through me. In Jesus, through Christ, He can do things through us that are not just work, but they are good works. Go with me, if you would, to, you know this verse, Romans 6, 6:23. If you know it, say it with me, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's gift is eternal but through faith. God's craftsmanship is seen in His good works through us. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. So this good work, this work starts with faith, and the good work starts after faith, since faith, I should say. Ephesians chapter 2, for salvation. In fact, that's the way it's written right here in these verses, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Friend, the Bible tells us that since I've received Christ as Savior, here's something I need to discover and follow through with. That before I got saved, God had a plan for me to walk like Jesus did. Now, let me tell you something. This is not in agreement with the teaching that says that God chose some to be saved and some not. Did you know that that's not in the Bible? That's not in Scripture. Jesus said, whosoever, amen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the plan for everyone to be like Christ is in eternity past. His desire is that we all be like Jesus. And that begins with the birth, new birth in Christ, and continues with his good work through us. What are some good works that he says we can be more like Christ, we can do to share with him? And these are going to be things that you're going to wonder, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But they are works in his eyes. Confession. Forgiveness. Assurance. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Are these things and works that are working through you? These are good works. You say, wait a minute, you can't see that. Exactly. Because all the glory belongs to who? It should belong to him. And all of those things point to him. Are you involved and are you seeking to do good works for God? That's just an example. That's not all of them, of course. But his desire is to do good works in our lives and through our lives. Here's a third thought as we look at verse number 6 back in Philippians here. Take a look. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to do good works in our lives. And God wants to perform a permanent work in our lives. Take a look. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many looking forward to that day, seeing Jesus face to face? Wow. Wow, could happen tonight. We've talked about it many times, thought about it many times perhaps. Maybe you have. And just talked to one of our folks who have a funeral to attend in the next few days. That often gets our mind on that day, makes us think of it. But you know, God wants to perform until then a work in our lives. And he wants us to stick to it, amen, to stick to it. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says, was fully persuaded of God's working in us. He says, being confident of this very thing. That means there's no doubt in my mind that God's going to perform something that will last until the day of Jesus Christ. He also summarized the Christian life throughout the book. Verse number 6, he tells us that God begins his work with our faith. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. God continues his work with our obedience. Take a look in chapter 2, verse 13. He continues his work with our obedience. Let me start with verse number 12. Actually, why don't you read it with me, if you would, please. Verse 12 and verse 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God continues his work with our obedience, and he desires that our obedience be humble. Humble before him. I remember as a kid, my mom used to say, that room is a disaster. I know you guys haven't had that, never heard that kind of thing before. That room is a disaster. I've got to go do this. When I get back, I want to see that room spick and span. I want to clean. Get that dirty laundry, get this and that, whatever, taken care of, etc. And I remember going in that room, and I'd find, you know, there's something that she, first of all, you kick everything you can under the bed, right? As far along as you think she won't be able to see. And then when you can't get all that done, all right, I've got to put it in the basket over here. And I start playing baseball and basketball, and I throw it in there. You know, she wants that clean, all right. Oh, you got it. If I put a hole in the wall, who cares, you know? She didn't say anything about that. But then came a time when I realized, you know what, living in a pig pen isn't so fun. Especially when it smells or it has little creatures around. I won't tell you what the creatures were. But something clicked wait a minute, I got to live here. I might as well make it the best I can. Try to keep it clean, straightened up. You know, your life belongs to the Lord. Our lives belong to the Lord. And he says, I want you to keep it clean. And I want you to obey me, but I want you to want to obey me. I want you to want. Humbly come to me and say, what's next, Lord? Got that done. What's next? What's next? Good work will be complete at the return of the Lord Jesus. Go to chapter 3 in Philippians, would you please? Take a look. Verse 20, verse 21. Good work. God's good work will be complete at the return of Jesus Christ. Take a look. Verse 20. Oh, I was right the first time. There we go. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now let me preface this. God's work will be complete, but not finished. There's an eternity that he has for you and me to do something for him. An eternity. We're not all just going to go up there and just stand around and I don't know what else. But I do believe this, God has work for us in eternity to do that will just continually bring glory to him. What is that work? Well, there's some things mentioned in Scripture, but it's not finished, it's complete when we see Jesus. When we see Jesus. The work on earth here will be complete, but the permanency continues to honor and glorify him. The Apostle John teaches us that eternal life, however, begins right now. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye might have eternal life, will have eternal life. Does anybody know the verse? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, present tense. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life began the day you called on Christ to save you. And that's a sobering thought, to be honest with you. It's sobering. Because there's going to come a time when the allurements of sin, the temptations of the flesh, all that stuff, it's all going to be gone. And I believe in eternity, we're going to just be thanking God along with some of the work he's got for us to do. But we'll be thanking God. And I think part of it will be looking back and saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me from that, for helping me with this, for showing me who you are here. We can look back here on this life. This will be just a little sliver of time in comparison to eternity. But he wants us to understand that the eternal life is a present life. It begins today and now. What's some of the work, by the way, that God has for us to do right here? Philippians chapter 1. Take a look back in Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 9 with me. There's some things he mentions here I think are helpful for us to look at. In verse 9, 10, and 11. In fact, he prayed for you and me about it. Take a look. Verse 9, 10, and 11. Let's read that together. Would you read those verses with me? And we'll close with this part, actually. Verse 9, 10, 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's break this down a little bit. He says, this I pray, work number one, that your love may abound more and more. And how does it abound? Or I should say, how is it to abound, or places it should abound in? In our knowledge, what we learn of him, what we learn of all things, and in our judgment, that is our discernment, that our love would be used in these instances. when we learn something and when we strive to discern the situation before us. How can we bring it to Christ? Verse 10, he says that ye may approve things that are excellent. Approve means to show to be true. To show to be true. Yesterday, the men had a men's prayer breakfast. We had a great time. We had a great group yesterday of guys, and it was a blessing to see everybody there. But guys, what did Brother Jess talk about yesterday? Anybody remember? He talked about the importance of our
testimony.
Thank you. I was like, I hope somebody remembers besides me. He talked about the importance of our testimony. What do others see? Do they see the Lord? Do they see me striving to live for Him? That ye may approve, show to be true, things that are excellent. Here's what living for God is about. Here's what knowing Him is about. Then he says that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's easy to do, right? By the way, if we've offended others, what does God tell us to do? Go and ask forgiveness. If someone comes to you and asks you that, what are you supposed to do? Well, first of all, listen, and then forgive. God says He wants you and I to consider, are we in that position? Have we been in that position? And by the way, sometimes we can be in both. We can be in both. We can be the offender and the one who needs to share forgiveness in the situations. He says, without offense until the day of Christ, being filled, verse 11, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Is there fruits of righteousness in your life? Is your life changed from, say, 5 years ago? Is there something different about you? And I'm not talking about when you got saved. I'm talking about since you've been saved. Is your life drawing closer and closer to Christ? Or is it staying on that plateau? And sometimes we get there, but God says, here's what you need to do. Just look back to me. Just look back to me. Look back to your Savior. I shared with you this morning about going through the swamp. And that's a good explanation of the world today, I think, don't you? The swamp. And Jesus has different steps for you and me to take. And if we choose something different, then we're going to have trouble. But God says, just look back to me. Just look back to me. Be filled and let me work through you. Let me work through you. God and His work. He wants to begin a work. Do you need Him as Savior tonight? He wants to begin a good work. That means our surrender to Him and seeking out what is right and wrong according to His word and Him. And He wants to perform a permanent work. Did you know that surrender to Christ is daily? Jesus said daily to His followers, He said, daily take up your what? Cross, that your life belongs to me every day. Did you do that today? Have you done it today? Guess what? God asks, will you do it tomorrow too? Will you do it tomorrow? The good works God desires in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just this really simple verse, but yet its truth can change us. And I ask God tonight if there's anyone who you desire to start a work in, who has yet to call on you, Lord, I pray you'd show them that need and that need can be taken care of tonight. As a believer in Christ, Lord, show us, Father, where to start with the work, the good works that you have within us. Yes, service is important. Yes, having a good testimony is important, but we need to start with having motives that agree with what you say. Oh God, I pray help us to look inside as well as outside. And if there's things that changes must be made, we'd start tonight. Lord, we thank you for the permanent work that is awaiting us. We thank you that the day of Jesus is yet to be, but we know it's coming. And so help us to be prepared. Help us to remind us to be prepared for when He comes, to be ready by living righteously for Him. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us even now tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Would you stand with me if you're able? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask, if God's spoken to you, why don't you respond? Maybe you need Christ as your Savior. Tonight's the night. Hey, praise the Lord for a new birth in Jesus. Everybody enjoys and is going to rejoice over that, including you. Perhaps God says simply, since you've been saved, there's some work I've been waiting to let you do and do through you, but I just need you. I just need your surrender to me. Will you do that tonight? Maybe God's speaking to you about other things, but if the Lord's speaking to you, would you respond? I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song we'll sing in just a minute. When she begins to play, why don't you respond? Talk to the Lord about these things. You can step to the front or right there in your seat, however He leads. But would you respond to Him as she begins to play? Thank you.